Okay. I talked to some of you already, and I said I'm going to give you 3x5 cards. So I'm going to take half of the cards and put them on this side. And if you please, just take one and pass them around, get the rest of them. Hopefully everybody would get one. And what I'd like you to do is to write on the cards. There are pens and pencils in the back. Could we get somebody to help send those around? Thank you. Wonderful. That's great. I would like you to write one thing, and that would be a practical way to honor the church. It's kind of weird, kind of different. We talked about honoring our parents. We talked about honoring our families, our children. Now let's see if we can find a way to honor the church. And remember some of the ways that we had before to honor our children and to honor our parents. Some of those ways might do just as well for the church. Let's see if I better get my notes. So if you remember any of the ways to honor parents or to honor children, you might find something there. I find it interesting, too, while you're writing something down, thinking, I'm just going to throw this in here. I find it interesting that God wants us together in worship, in fellowship, in service. He wants a church. And, you know, God loves us individually. God loves us with an unfathomable love, unending. It's a fantastic way. I mean, God wants a relationship with us individually, but he also wants a relationship with us corporately as the body of Christ. And many places in Scripture talks about the church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. And so I want to figure this out as best I can, because I think of when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. And most of you know what Jesus' response was. He said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." But notice that it's in the first person plural. Our Father, forgive us our sins. And I think he's not only just saying, here's how to pray, he's saying, here's how to pray together as a body. Together, let's pray. And so I'm kind of working through that myself, and I don't know exactly what to expect. But that's life, right? So your cards, your 3x5 cards, have you, anybody gotten anything written down yet? Maybe we can pass them to the center, and then we can collect them a little more easily. If you just pass them right down to the middle. And I know there's going to be some answers that I won't understand, because I'm like that. Yeah. When you're done writing, pass it to the center. Oh, thank you. Well done. Yes. Thank you. And some of them I probably won't be able to read, my eyesight and all that. And some of you probably put in a dad joke, which I think is one great way to honor the church, is in laughter. All right. Let's keep going. Anybody want to turn them in? Turn them in. If you're too slow, then you have to wait till next family camp. All right. Good, good. Now, obviously, I'm not going to be able to read all of these. I'm going to hopefully get through a few of them. And I imagine there'll be a lot of repeats. Oh, thank you. Okay. Yeah. Oh, the pens? Oh, I don't know. I suppose we can just hang on to them, or set them on the floor, try not to let them be a distraction, and then we'll just collect them later. How's that? Okay. This is going to be fun. I want to hear what you have to say about how to honor the church, and if that is just such a foreign idea, hopefully we'll find that out too. Praying for the church leaders. I hope we get a lot of those. Faith, give faithfully of the first fruits of your labor. Yes, tithes and offerings. You know, that, again, that's a very scriptural principle. Again, give money and be part of the church community, just being there is great. Be consistent in your attendance. Oh, I'm going to speak a little bit more about that too. Involved in the worship together. Don't critique your pastor to unbelievers. Guard your pastor's position. Guard your pastor's character. That's wonderful. Don't critique in front of unbelievers. That just leaves a stain. Honor the church, praying for our pastor and families. Oh, that's good. Showing up, be willing to serve. You guys are great. I'm going to read just a couple more of these. Give your time as well as finances. Excellent. Serve the church by volunteering. Yes. Help the elderly. Yes. Yeah, you know, good. There's more. This is going to be great bedtime reading. I'm going to enjoy this a lot, and maybe I'll say some more tomorrow. But, you know, I think it's so important for us to be part of a church, part of a body of Christ, part of a fellowship, a gathering together of believers. And I see that in Scripture. You know, Hebrews 10:25, you know, it says, do not forget assembling together like some are in the habit of doing. He says, we need to meet together. And the apostles met together on the first day of the week. Let's see. Here's Hebrews 13:17. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Another version says they keep watch over your souls as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. Again, protecting our pastors, guarding their hearts as well. And then he says to pray for us. Be sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. Going to church helps us do that. It helps us sharpen one another. Another scripture says that iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And I think we need one another to help us and to make sure we don't go wandering off the wrong direction, but also to help us to be there to help other people who might be off on the wrong direction. We can help correct each other and build each other up in that way. And so you gave me, 100 or so ways to honor the church. And I've got a few that probably are going to repeat all that you've said, and hopefully I'll say it as well as you have. Number one, go to church. That was already in there. Go to church. We had in my youth group, we had a family of four boys, freshman, sophomore, junior, and a senior. And those boys were different from each other, but that family was in church every week. And other parents noticed that, and they even came to ask me, how come they're always in church? They know that some of the boys don't want to, that's boring or whatever, but the family was important. And I asked Andy, I said, so why, you know, how are you getting your boys to church? He says, it's expected. That's what we do. That's what our family does. We go to church, and we go to church together. And he says, when you start that, when they're really young, then it becomes so much easier later on when they're already in the habit. So some habits are good, wouldn't you say? It's good to go to church, good to build up that habit of going to church. And think of it, if we're the body of Christ, right? Other scriptures tell us that we're not just a foot, or maybe we're a foot, but not an arm, you know, the body of Christ. What happens then if we don't go to church? The body is handicapped. Doesn't that stand to reason? If this is the body of Christ, and one of you might be an eye, and one of you might be an ear, that sort of thing. If you're not there, you handicap the body of Christ. That's pressure. I mean, we need to go to church. We need to be there and participate with our brothers and sisters. Number two, the second way to honor the churches, submit to the church's teachings, submit to the elders. Now, that's sometimes difficult to submit to the elders because this carpet is kind of green, and nobody really likes green, and so we feel that God wants us to have red carpet. Now, the other people in the church might say, no, the green is fine. And did you know that some churches have split because of the color of the carpeting? They think that is so important that they need to divide the church or they need to just leave. I'm leaving that church because of that green carpet. It's just so ugly and nobody looks good on top of green. We heard that when the lights were green. Nobody looks good in green. Well, okay, some people do. But you get my point? Some people go to church and they expect a fight. They don't say, okay, the elders chose this color carpet. Let's live with it. It's not a big deal. Now, we know that there are some issues that are a big deal. How do we respond to that? How do we obey the church's teachings, submit to the leaders of the church, and what if an issue crops up that is really a big thing? 90% of the things are not big. They're not a watershed issue. But there are sometimes. And then you have several choices. You can stay and hope to ride it out, not saying anything. Or you can leave and say, well, we've got to go find another church that's perfect. Well, that's going to be hard. Or you can speak up. You can help guard the church's position. You can help guard the church's purity in their doctrine. So you could take responsibility and help with that. Now, God doesn't say everybody has to stay there and take responsibility for that issue. Sometimes God says it's time for you to move on to a different church. But usually, I think God wants us to stay and help the church return to sound doctrine, if that's the issue. I had one family in the church. They really didn't like what was going on with the worship, the style of music. And they said, Joe, why aren't you going to leave? We're thinking of leaving. Why aren't you going to leave? And I said, I'm going to stay until my orders change. I'm not a military guy. I've never served. And God bless those who have. But I know about orders, and when you get orders, you stay at your post until the orders change. And so that was my answer to them. I said, maybe I'm just a crazy guy, but I'm going to stick around and hopefully keep the thing from capsizing. It didn't. The church kind of imploded a bit, but I felt like I kept my orders. I stayed at my post, and I, even though my help wasn't accepted, I stayed. I did what I thought was what I was supposed to do. And there's a lot of issues that are just not supposed to be big issues. One time a church split and had a huge drop-off because the American flag was in one side and the Christian flag was in the other side. Great to display those two symbols of freedom and salvation. But somebody said, well, no, one flag needs to be on the other side. Let's switch them. And it started a big to-do. And they thought, okay, I'm a Boy Scout. I know to put the American flag in a certain place and to honor that. Don't know so much about the Christian flag for that, where it should be. But goodness, why should it? That should not be an issue to split the church. Let's think more about that as we get into this. How about number three? Serve as a family. There are ways that you can serve, and the church may not even be able to think of ways. A pastor might not be able to think of a best way to serve the church. Can you hear me? Have I been speaking into a dead mic all this? Okay, good. that'd be fun. Okay, so. Sometimes a pastor won't know of a way that you could serve and you and your family. Other elders or leaders in the church might not have that position ready. So think of something. My wife noticed that the church sometimes at the end of the service, everybody's gone, there's bulletins laying on the floor, you know, flyers and stuff like that. The little offering envelopes and things were just laying on the floor. And sometimes after communion, there'd be cups still in the back of the seat, you know, on the backside. And my wife said to our kids, let's go through and just clean up everything and just offer to do that. Now, the kids, they said, sure, we can do that. That's nothing. And they didn't know that there was a janitorial service that was going to come that week and take care of all of it. But they got a chance to serve. And they learned that they, too, can contribute even though they're just little, even though they're young. They have a place in the church. So the whole family can serve by being involved. And there's other ways, too, not just cleaning up, but lead a Bible study. Even if you're a child, you can lead a Bible study with other children. Why not? Maybe you can meet at one person's house and the parents could provide the cookies. Or as I like to have, brownies. Let's see, there's more. Support, number four, support with tithes and offerings. You guys mentioned that. And I've always found it interesting. We give 10%, that's the baseline. And then I think God lets us keep 90%. Wow, what a generous God. And so maybe I could take that 90%. Go ahead, you can get it. Sorry. Hang on. So don't you think we could help give away some of that 90%? That's a generous God. He allows us the blessing of giving more. I'd like that too. Did you know that John Wesley, a famous preacher from the circuit rider days back in the 1700s, John Wesley got a salary, and I don't know the exact numbers, but let's say it was five. What's a denomination for money like that? Okay, $5. He got $5 a week to live on, and he found he was able to do that. As he became more and more successful and gathered more and more churches and started the churches and had many people come to Christ, the offerings got bigger. And he got $10 a week. And he said, well, I could live on $5 a week just last week, so I'm just going to let them keep their extra $5. And he did that over and over again until he was giving away so much, you know, because he says, I could still live on $5. Well, $5 is not what I'm asking you to do. But just let's think of ways that we could honor God, honor the church, by giving a little bit more. It's fun. Don't the people say, you can't outgive God? I think that's totally true. Anyway, be generous and sacrificial. And number five, pray. And many of you have said that on the cards. Pray and even attend prayer meetings. Prayer meetings are, I've read one author, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. I can't remember the name of the author. But the book said something about prayer meetings. When you measure how many people are in the prayer meetings, you're measuring the health of the church. And I thought about that. Yeah, that's not too far from the truth. When we pray, we are really being part of the body of Christ, especially when we pray together. One church I was at, we had an all-night prayer time. We were asking people to come in and just pray for an hour, and then somebody else might sign up for the next hour. And so, you know, you might have signed up last week to come at 2 o'clock in the morning or to come at 3 or 4, you know. But the idea is that somebody was praying for an hour, and that was going on all night long at the church. And I signed up because I was one of the pastors. I signed up for 2 hours. Yeah, godly man, I'm sure. So I signed up for 2 hours, and I got there, and I thought, oh, great. I'm going to pray for 2 hours? Really? But I started praying. I had my word, you know, and they even had a little kneeling thing, you know. You kneel down, and you have this. And so I thought, this is okay. I can do this. And I started praying, and before I knew it, the 2 hours were up. Somebody else was knocking at the door. And I thought, wait a second, it can't be over. Is my clock wrong? But no, it's just like when you start to get into it, it accelerates and it becomes, I don't know, a part of your heart and your soul. And so go to the prayer meetings that the church holds. And if they're not holding prayer meetings, start one. Make one happen. Have the all-nighters. Or we did one in a church where we called it 4 days in the Word. And we wanted to start reading from Genesis 1 and go all the way through the end of Revelation and read it nonstop. So we had people sign up for a particular hour, and sometimes it was in the middle of the night and it was from the church. The microphone was on, but there was nobody there because here it is the middle of the night. And they're just reading word after word after word, sentence after sentence, paragraph and verse after verse. And it took 4 days to get through the entire word, and we ended up on Easter Sunday, and that was the plan. And one man who signed up for an hour or somewhere in there, he came up and he reported to the rest of the church on that Easter Sunday morning. And he said, we got through the Bible. And he says, but the really significant part of that is that the Bible got through us. And I thought, that's cool. That's what needs to happen. And that really does demonstrate the health of your church, is the prayer meetings. Are they well attended? Are people really praying? It's something we can all ask about our churches that we go to. Number six, express your appreciation to pastors and elders. Again, guard them, help protect them, but just love them. Take them to lunch sometime. That's kind of falling off. Take them to lunch sometimes, or send a handwritten note. Nobody does handwritten notes anymore. It's all email. And I think a handwritten note makes a big difference. It shows that you put some thought into it and you put some time into it. And it was a stamp nowadays, 70 cents or something like that. And so you invested heavily in this thank you note. So thank your pastors with a note. That really means a lot to them. And then number seven, suggest. This is going to be hard. Suggest a salary increase for your pastor, or suggest a benefit increase. We were at a elder meeting, and the elder meeting they had already established the budget. And they said, oh, our pastors, including the youth guy, they're going to get a whopping 2% increase this year. And one of the guys, he stood up and he says, I think we need to give them a 5% increase. Now, we're not known for paying our pastors a whole lot. Most churches have that reputation. But even a 3 or a 5% increase was... would have been very helpful. And so this Keith Champion, great guy. And he just stood up and said to the elders, we need to do this. And I think they settled on a 4% or something like that. But it was just, it encouraged me so much more when I heard that. And then at another church meeting, and this was many years later, different church, we had an all-church meeting in the gymnasium. There was a dinner or lunch. And then they had the church business meeting. And one guy, a good friend, stood up and said, we need to give our pastors a Christmas bonus. And he didn't give an amount. He didn't say how much or anything. He just said, give them a Christmas bonus. Show them our appreciation with our dollars. I'm not going to give them a gift and put it under their tree. So why not pitch in together to give them a bonus? And the church did. And even though I was at that church for 15 years, that was the only bonus I got. But it carried me a long ways. And it carried the pastor, the senior pastor, a long ways, because somebody was willing to stand up and say, let's put our money where our mouth is. And I say that not to say I'm bitter or anything about the church. It's just I know that there's ways that we can honor our churches. We can honor the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. As I told you earlier, my son got married 3 weeks ago, almost 3 weeks ago, on May the 4th, and we weren't caught off guard. We knew that there was a wedding coming. I mean, after we were there when he proposed, and then a little bit later they set the date. We had, I don't know, 4 or 5 months to prepare, and we knew it was coming, but it still caught us off guard, or at least everything at the last minute was like, oh, it's here. It's going to be here tomorrow. We're going to, you know, Seth is going to get married. And things rush up on us. And sometimes I know that the Lord is coming. And it may be any day. It may be today even. And it's the bride of Christ and the bridegroom, who is Christ. And the wedding day is coming, and it's coming fast. Is our church ready? Is the bride of Christ spotless and blameless and ready for the coming of the king, the coming of the bridegroom? And I would just say, for the glory of God, in Ephesians 5:27, while there's time, as long as we are able, let's do all we can to make our church holy and blameless, without spot or wrinkle, for the glory of God. And again, we said, let's pray for our pastors. And I told you a little bit about my wife and the prayer cards that she's put together. My wife made it. She's here. And she's there in the back. And the prayer cards, she brought a few. And Heartland has said they would like to make sure that everybody who wants one gets a deck of prayer cards. And she has a deck for 52 prayers or scriptures to pray for your son, and 52 scriptures to pray for your daughter. And I would encourage you to take a look at those prayer cards. And like I said, Heartland has agreed to cover the cost so that everyone who wants one can get one. Now, I want to say thank you to Heartland for that. That's just remarkable. So thank you, yeah. And you know, as I've already shared, my main gig is the Christian Youth Film Society, Christian Youth Film Festival. That's coming up next March, and we have a film camp coming up at the end of July, at the end of June, June 29th, and it's going to be really exciting for those kids. They get to work alongside professionals in the business. But at the back table, there's also lanyards free for the taking. If you want a lanyard for your keys or a lanyard for, lunch, whatever you'd like it for, please just help yourself to get one of those lanyards. They say ChristianYouthFilmFestival.org. Let's pray. Almighty God, you are great, you are holy, you are righteous, and you are true. You are the one who loves us, and you have worked in us and shown us your desire for the church, your desire for your bride. Help us, Father, to be ready when the time comes. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.